Welcome to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley, an IFS-informed certified trauma recovery coach. This show features interviews from survivors all over the world as they share their impactful story of thriving in their post-traumatic growth. We explore resources, tools, and coping skills to support the trauma survivor community. Enjoy. Welcome back to the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah Miley, an IFS-informed trauma recovery coach, and we have with us today Edit B. Kiss. Edit, thank you for joining us. She is a holistic mentor, a success habit coach, and a best-selling author. She's also won a humanitarian award, and she's an international speaker. She originally started as a petroleum engineer for 15 years before going full-time as a life coach. And during those years, she trained to become a Reiki master, a Shakum healer, and a karma yogi. She worked on several family constellation therapies as well. She learned life coaching from the Satori Prime brothers and was trained by Bob Proctor, who is known for his appearance as a featured expert in the movie The Secret. She's worked with clients from all over the world on releasing long-lasting pains, blockages, ancestor defects, and emotional traumas so that they can live fulfilled and joyful lives. Edit, thank you so much for being here with us today. I just want to dive right in with you. I'm very excited to have this conversation because I feel we align on a lot of areas. So tell us what you'd like to share about your journey. How did you go from petroleum engineer, all the way here to being a life coach and a spiritual healer?
Thank you, Sarah, for having me, and hello, everybody. So I started with petroleum engineering because that was my passion. I love traveling, and that was an aligned profession where I can be analytical and travel a lot. So that was a first passion for me. But actually, I encountered some mental illnesses when I was studying and traveling. So I started to have panic attacks. And then I was thinking, like, I need to find some solution which is natural. I don't want to take medication. So I started to look for some herbs like St. John's wort, you know, and then other remedies. And then, I also looked up like Reiki. That was my first introduction to Reiki healing. And then I also wanted to learn it so then I can heal myself anytime or even help others. So actually, I started with my spiritual modalities and then my healing journey. And I was doing this like for a couple of years, and parallel to my engineering career, I was actually using it as a hobby and also for myself healing, my family healing, because of course, when we start healing ourselves, we're healing our whole soul family. So it was really pleasant to know that I'm actually helping others as well in my whole family. And then we started to get into family constellation therapies, and I went to extrasense retreats to be more connecting with the divine and so on and so forth. So that was like parallel to my engineering career. And then eventually, when I was already leaving the 9-to-5 because I felt overwhelmed and I have two children, so I wanted to spend more time with them, then I get into like contracting work. And then what happened is that I had lots of time then when I was doing contracting work. So I started to get into more different areas of life, like learning about different things. And then I felt like I was living in a box as an engineer, and then finally opening up everything. And then that's how I got into also the karma yoga, which is karma yoga healing, which has not too much to do with the asanas, as many people would think. It's more about meditation, transcendental meditation, source memory healing, karma healing, and ancestral healing, basically what I learned back then in 2018. And I started to use those tools to heal myself. And I realized that how powerful is it, that even more powerful than the Reiki. And then I was like, wow, I need to show this to other people. I would love to meditate with other people. So basically that's how. And then for the transcendental meditation, the first time I did it, after I literally felt that something opened up, like the void, and then I started to have like breadcrumbs from the universe and intense visions, you know, and intuition, like to really move to another country. That's when I moved to UK and established my healing business. It was so strong, so calling. So that's how everything shifted, basically.
Wow, that's a huge shift, but I love that it started with all of the internal work that you were doing. And I started very similar as well. I was just on my own healing journey when I kind of stumbled across to becoming a trauma recovery coach. So I love that because it's really using everything that you learned in your lived experience And then you continued to get the trainings that you needed to kind of make it official, which is very similar to my path. So I love that. You mentioned on your site when you're talking about like healing from trauma, learn more to heal about addiction or trauma, but you use the word effectively. So you say like healing from trauma effectively. What does that mean for you? What does that look like?
So I have several clients, so I know their stories that they went through a trauma, they went to speaking therapies, counseling, all of these modalities they used, lots kind of modalities, and then they still felt like they still anxious, stressed, they still have the PTSD, so they still felt it wasn't a solution for them. And when they came to me and then we started to do the source memory healing, when we actually go in deep to the unconscious mind, because we are in transcendental state, you know, after the meditation. So we reach the unconscious mind and the buried traumas in the unconscious mind, and we can really effectively release it so that the client won't get triggered anymore. And they are much more peaceful and they go through the forgiveness process as well. So it's they all of them reported me back that they feel much better, they feel released, they feel very good. And then some of them even came back to me to learn this technique because I teach karma healing facilitators. So basically they were eager to learn it because they were also in their spiritual journey and they wanted to show it to others as well and help others.
I love that. This is also, it's kind of a mix of utilizing, because you're using the brain, right? So I'm just curious, do you consider this more spiritual healing or more cognitive healing? Is it a mix of both?
Yes, I always say that we are a multidimensional existence, so I can't really separate them. And I wouldn't call it brain, I would call it mind, because we have the four parts of the mind. Our mind is at the conscious, the subconscious, and the unconscious, and the superconscious. So it's like we are all connected, and then we're connected on the conscious level, and then everybody has their own unconscious mind and subconscious, and then also we have the family unconscious. So it's like many layers we need to think about. When sometimes people say like, oh, I feel so weird, I feel this, I feel that, and then they digging like, what is their physical issue, what is wrong with them right now in their physical body? And then always tell them that maybe it's not you, maybe it's not your physical body, maybe affecting you some energies or some other layers of your existence is affecting you right now. So it's much more into it than just fixing this body.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great answer. We also talk about a lot of like rewriting our narrative, right? Retelling our story, reshaping it to how we want it to be. What does that mean for your clients in the type of work that they're doing? Are they rewriting their story on the conscious level, or are they doing it with all of this subconscious work?
So it's really important to do it every level, right? So in conscious level, might you make a decision? That's the first thing, right? That first you need to make a conscious decision that you want to change. Some even don't get there. You know, some people even don't get there because they're scared to accept that. But the people who comes to me, they already made the conscious decision that, yes, I want to change. So that's the first step. Then second is, yes, they need to reprogram their subconscious mind so their conscious decision is aligned. I mean, the subconscious beliefs is aligned with the conscious decision, so that they actually believe that they can get healed. They believe that they will be better. You know, they believe that there is a better life out there for them, you know, even though they maybe suffered 10 years, 20 years in their condition. They sometimes get custom of their condition so much that, okay, I want to try this new healing, but what if it won't work? You know, or what if it's like, is this subconscious is still there? And then when we do the unconscious release, then basically they go to the through the forgiveness and stuff. Sometimes they still tell to me that, I know I released it. I know I feel more peace. I know much more, feel more calm. But sometimes I wake up in the morning and I say, what if it comes back in 2 hours or whatever? And then that's when I need to step in and say, okay, you need to more focus on the subconscious reprogramming. You need to say your affirmations daily that you are safe, you are healed, you are fine, you supported, you know, all of these affirmations, because they are already fine. They just afraid that the old patterns can come back. It won't. It's just their subconscious fear is still there. Mm-hmm.
So before they make that conscious decision to say, yes, like I want to try something, any number of modalities, if the subconscious is still having a lot of doubts and maybe isn't quite sure, what is that's driving that conscious decision? Is it hope? Is it just they're thirsty or hungry for something more?
Yeah, you know, the subconscious beliefs are not your beliefs. The subconscious beliefs is coming from your parents, from environment, from your ancestors. So it's basically whatever the subconscious beliefs is generated in your mind before you were 7 years old. So it's basically how your parents or environment was thinking about certain modalities or certain help or whatever. And then now when you're a grown up, you still carry that subconscious belief, which is completely different from your current conscious beliefs, because you are smarter now, you went through lots of experiences, and you already know, you have the knowing, but still your subconscious beliefs can self-sabotage that knowing.
I understand. That makes a lot of sense, because I'm kind of thinking about my own path and my own journey of just looking for healing and, you know, developmental trauma and that kind of thing that did affect me personally. This idea that I had to just wake up one day and make that decision that I needed something more, even though my subconscious took a little while. It was lagging a little bit behind. But that reprogram and rewriting of that narrative is really important. You touch on this idea of like ancestral wounds, or I think you also call it ancestral defects. How does that affect trauma survivors? Like, are we talking ancestral traumas? Like, what do you mean by defects and wounds?
Yes. So it can be many things. So let me just start with one thing. So when your ancestors created a crime, they made some sins that they actually create karma. Mm-hmm. And very often us, like inheritance or like in the lineage, we sometimes take over their karma intentionally, obviously. And then when, you know, some people born with disease, you said little child, or might they suffer from early childhood disease or death, or maybe an accident in early age. All of those are a sign that those people are paying the karma of their ancestors. Mm. And then it can actually show that the ancestors carry deep karma, so negative karma. So this needs to be actually solved, so it's not going to carry forward in the lineage. Yeah. So that's one thing. The other thing is about also related with addictions is that your ancestors, some of them died in accidents or in a sudden death, then the soul or spirit of the ancestor did not leave the body properly through the crown chakra to the light. So some spirits are still around us in 4D. And then basically they are sticking around you on your aura and your energy field because they're bothering you because they want to go to light. We're supposed to pray for them. You're supposed to pray for them and help them to go to light, their spirit. And when we don't do that, because it's not that custom, right, in this time, you know, as it used to be, then they stick around. And what they do, they are on your aura. So whenever you drop your vibration, which means you are in a negative emotion, you are sad, you feel betrayed, you feel angry, you feel, certain negative emotions, but triggered after you get triggered. So that in that situation, your aura start to have holes. Your energy field is crumbling. So that's what is happening, is the spirits can enter your body and basically use your body for their desires. They enjoy being in a body and they can use your body for cravings. Like, you know, many times they show like someone is having a heartbreak and sad, they grab a bucket of ice cream and they... Yeah. It's because it's not them. It's not you. It's the same about addiction. It's like drinking a massive alcohol or smoking. Is when they start this, it started when entities coming in and want those desires and basically getting those cravings to the physical body. And I had a client who actually came to me, and I knew that person for many years, and then I knew her background, and she was telling me like, you know, I'm coming home from work and then I wish to play my cello, I wish to do some pottery, but I just sit down and then I just smoke and drink wine. She never smoked before, I know. And then she's like, every day I'm drinking wine. I knew that she was drinking once a week. And she was like, she feels desperate. She doesn't know what to do now. Like, why she's doing that? And then we started to do the process. We did some Reiki healing, but I also did with her the ancestral defect release meditation a couple of times. And then after like 2 weeks, she kind of disappeared from my phone, like not answering me and nothing. And like 2 weeks later, she eventually came back and I was like, how are you doing? What's up? And she was like, you know, I started to play cello again. I started to do pottery again. I stopped smoking. I stopped drinking. I was like, wow, that's awesome. So basically, with that process, with those meditations and energy healings, we were able to get out those entities from her system, and she was able to again be herself. That's mm-hmm. what happened.
Wow. So I almost hear there's like these ancestral defects or ancestral spiritual things on the spiritual plane. And then we also know how generational trauma kind of works. And then that actually goes into the physical DNA. That's where the epigenetics come in. So there's really this mind, body, and spirit thing kind of all happening at once, which for longtime listeners, they have heard me talk and harp about the mind, body, spirit connection and those three being really entity tied together. So this is a mix of, you know, a different layer of your genetics and your DNA, things that you get from your ancestors passed down to you, you know, that random red-haired child or where your green eyes pop out of, you know, why am I left-handed and no one else in the family is, right? But eventually that gene was there and this is just different on a, it's the same on a spiritual level. So yeah, I think that's really kind of clear to understand. I know you talk about like going into the ancestral past, are they, how do I want to phrase this question? Because I don't understand a lot about the ancestral healing. I know a lot about generational trauma, but on the spiritual plane, are they doing these meditations and actually connecting with the spiritual beings? Yes. Or do they even know what's happening?
Yeah. So basically what's happening that we enter the family unconscious during meditation. And then as we step into that realm, it's the same with the family constellation therapy, but it's like in family constellation therapy, it requires more physical humans participation. But when we do the unconscious healing meditation, then you can actually do it just through the listening to my guidance. Mm-hmm. And what's happening is that you step into the family unconscious and then we call in actually one by one your relatives who actually maybe your father, your grandparents, and then we actually kind of fix the relationship between your parents, between your grandparents and the child, because most of the time, which is creating the disturbance and negative energies, is not being accepted by parents, not being loved by grandparents. Your parents is not being loved by grandparents. So all of this distortion is creating lots of negative energies and then negative karma towards you and then so on and so forth, the patterns, you know. So basically we are able to go back and, fix their relationship during these meditations, the spirits. And they are very grateful and very happy that is actually happening to them. They feel it, the transformation as well. And we actually receive blessings as we help them to do this. So that's why it's very important to know again that when you start this healing journey, you not just heal yourself, but your whole soul family, which has a huge effect on your current relatives who's still alive, your children and everyone. So it's a very profound work and it's really great.
Wow. I love that. I want to just shift before we wrap up, because I do just want to jump into the fact that you are a habits coach, you're a life habits coach. And I always find this, obviously being a lifestyle design coach myself, I love to talk about this in the overarching topic of trauma, right? So good, healthy, solid habits. Why is that so important for trauma survivors? And how is it accessible to them? How do they get there with doing healthy habits?
So I would recommend, first of all, to practice meditation daily, because it's very good for body, mind, and soul, basically. And then do the transcendental meditation, which is not forcing the conscious monkey mind to stop chatting, but is more you transcend into the subconscious where it's always quiet. Mm-hmm. And then when you practice that and you get into like delta brain waves, then you start to produce the necessary hormones on an extra level. So it's like you produce more of the melatonin, serotonin, oxytocin, growth hormone. So it's helping you to become a better person, more focused, have a better sleep, and even an overall healthier, vital body with the growth hormone. So this meditation is really great, actually, to practice it daily. The other thing I would recommend is to make sure that the diet is healthy and has all the nutrients what your body needs. Because many times I have clients coming to me with anxiety, stress, and then they don't have enough iron. Maybe they have lacking in iron because they are vegan or vegetarian and they don't fix your iron level properly, or B vitamin or magnesium. It's really important to actually make sure that on a daily basis you have all of these, because you can just feel anxious and stressed because of the lack of these things. You release these nutrients or vitamins, and then you are like, oh my God, what's happening to me? You don't have enough vitamins. That's it. You know, you need to pop it up. And then The other thing I recommend, exercise is always really good because it's raising your vibration. It makes you feel good, you know, especially if you do it for music and dancing, you know, that's a very good exercise for people who feel sometimes low, you know. Dancing is always recommended, or just, you know, go for a run or swimming, whatever makes them, gives them pleasure or makes them feel good, or go for a faster walking, you know, like a cardio walking in nature. That's very good for trauma survivors. So these are the main habits which I would basically recommend, and good sleep. You just make sure that you have enough sleep, sufficient sleep.
Yeah, great. Thank you so much. I want to give you a minute to just chat about your book before we wrap up here. It is called On the Healer's Journey, the coaching book for seekers. So tell us, why did you write this book? Who is it for? Who should be reading this book?
Actually, I have it here. Okay. So this is how it looks if you guys are looking for it online. So it's available on any online platforms. You just Google it and it's there. So I started to write this book back in 2020, end of 2020, and it got published in 22 after going through editorials stuff. And then I also decided to have some nice, illustrations in there. In every chapter, I have a beautiful illustration, which is actually like a mandala. So you can color it as well. And then it has some connection with the chapter, which is next to it. So it's like good for people also to like reading a chapter, coloring a page, and reading the next chapter. So I wrote this book back in 2020 because I've seen in social media that my friends and other people who I was following, they had some questions about like, oh, what should I do when I feel this? What should I do when I feel that? It was also like COVID time, you know, it was like when they were like more feeling alone, or they had some mental issues, or they had some boundary issues, you know, relationship situations. So then I was thinking like, okay, then I was actually answering them on DMs, and then I got tired. And then I said, let's just write a book and then everybody can read it, you know? So basically that's how I got inspired to write this book, answering these questions. And then I started to write mostly about, so this is for seekers, which means people who feel like called towards become a light worker or helper for other people, you know, and also for people who's going through awakening, you know, so spiritual awakening, and then feel like I am so different from my family members, or I'm so different from my friends, or you know, so I just need some guidance. Why I feel this way, why I feel that way, or which direction I should take, and those kind of things. So then I created this 13 chapter to actually guide them through step by step their awakening process, basically. Mm-hmm. And I have a very lovely testimonial from someone, and he was saying to me that he's not even a light worker, but he was in 9-to-5, and then he also had some issues, and then he read this book, and then it was for him very empowering and very helpful. So it's actually, I think it's a nice coaching book.
Really for anyone, but your idea in writing it was for people that are seeking to kind of move forward in their spiritual walk, or to maybe be, you know, helpers for the universe. I love that. Edit, thank you for joining us. Before I let you go, everyone is always asked the same question. In your personal journey and all of this healing, now you've named a million modalities for us today, which I love because we love resources, but what was really some of the top couple of healing modalities or resources or books that you used when you were going through your journey?
It's really difficult, you know, to answer because there are so many, so many masters, you know, I was following or taking their books or reading their books. So basically, I love Reiki. So it's one of my go-to, like a daily ritual as well for me to do Reiki on myself, because I also realized that how empowering it is, and then how great is like a daily, how can I, sanctuary. And so Reiki, but you know, I do Shechem healing as well. And then the funny thing is that since I've done the Shechem initiation and I become a Shechem healer, basically my Reiki turned into Shechem. So it's because it's I got aligned with more signs and then connected with the Sirius Sun as well. So basically, since I did that, it transmuted me to that space. So actually it's Shechem healing. And the other one, Transcendental Meditation, that's very powerful. I love to do that as well. Let me see. Oh, I love, I probably many people read already Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, Becoming Supernatural. And why I recommend this to many people is because it's actually explaining everything I was talking about, the transcendental meditation, the activating the pineal gland, and then to get into the delta brainwaves. He's actually talking about it and about the vibration of the emotions on a very detailed level. It's so detailed that it's like some people feel it really intense. But it's, I think it's a very good scientifically proof about what I was actually explaining here. So the Becoming Supernatural from Joe Dispenza is a very good book.
Yeah, when Dr. Joe gets into things, it can seem a little overwhelming. You might have to look up a couple little words, but it is the science that's backing these spiritual and cognitive modalities that have kind of come to the surface the last couple of decades. Many of them have been around for forever, but we didn't have the science to really explain why they were working. And now understanding things, yeah, like the beta waves and delta and alpha waves and what's useful for what and sleep and focus and relaxation. And so, yeah, he gets very sciencey. That's great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Please tell people where they can find you, your website. I'm going to have the links to the book. I'm going to have everything posted in the show notes below.
Thank you so much, Sarah. It was my pleasure.
I love that. We'll have your website. Are you on socials, or do you go on Instagram and Facebook and all those?
Yes, I'm pretty active on Instagram, and I always post there my free events as well and other posts. So I am most active in Instagram, actually. Yes.
Perfect. All right. So I'll have the website and the books and the Instagram linked up below so people can reach out to edit. And if they have more questions, they can follow up with you and possibly even work with you if they're ready to move into that realm. So thank you again for joining us. We appreciate you taking the time. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Thank you for listening to or watching this episode of the Trauma Survivorhood Podcast. Please subscribe, like, share, and follow. For any information that was discussed in this podcast episode, check out the show notes below. Until next time, be well.